much. That helped me. Listen, if that didn't excite you when that verse says, my sin, not in part, but the whole,
amen,
was nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. If you can't praise the Lord about that, you got a lot more troubles than you ever realize. Let's stand together one more time and take your hymnal. Thank you so much, choir. Thank you, Brother Doug. Hymn number 265. Let's do our very best all around. Hymn 265. Brother Doug's going to come along and lead us. Love lifted me. I was sinking.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained with sin, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my defense cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
All right, before we sing that last verse, when we get to the chorus, love lifted me, we're going to do like we do in the teenagers. Love lifted me every time, okay? On that last one.
Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Thank you so much. You may be seated all around. Thank you again for being so faithful here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. I want to take a few moments. And then on the back, it tells you thank you again. Just a gift from Tabernacle Baptist Church. But we'll start over here on your right, my left, and go back through the room. Brother Harold?
Army, 70 to 72,
the Army. Yes.
Navy from 94 to 02.
They're in the Navy. Yes, sir.
Army.
He's in the Army right here. Brother Mike? Yes, sir.
U.S. Army, 1983.
Yes, ma'am. Miss Kim?
U.S. Air Force, 1983.
Sir, Brother Richard? Yes, sir. Nathan? Very well. Yes, sir, here in the front.
Army, 1966, 1968. I was drafted a year and 5 days after I got married.
Yes, sir.
So I wasn't real happy about
it. I was sitting down. You're going on.
Amen. Thank you. thank you so much, Miss Kim. I must say, this week I had a privilege to go to a Veterans Day service there in Chilhowie, a community service, and to they had the high school chorus sing and the band play, and to see those men and women stand up, and it really it moved me. And how many days we're so ungrateful for the freedoms we're afforded in the country we live in, and men and women have served abroad and done without and left home and family, some of them never to return back, and we take for granted so much, and we're all so blessed. Let's stand one more time and sing God Bless America. You'll have to sing it from memory. Surely you can do your very best, because if I forget the words, you'll have to help me. So much. You may be seated. Brother Shane's going to come along and share in song Ephesians 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. We've enjoyed our time here in the book of Ephesians. We'll continue here in just a moment and ask God to prepare our hearts for all that he'll do this morning.
It's been a long time since I've sung this song, and I kind of sound a little froggy this morning, but it's been a long time since I've sung this, and the first time I heard it, I'll never forget. I thought, wow, I don't know, you know, what this writer was going through, but it was exactly what I was going through when I heard this for the first time. And he's a friend of mine that wrote this, and I asked him back when I first heard it, I said, there had to be some major event, there had to be something going on in your life to make you write these lyrics. I love lyrics. I love words. I love the melodies in songs, but it's the word. Even the Bible says it's the hearing of the word. And he said that he just felt like that God could not use him anymore, that he was at the very bottom. He said, I just didn't feel like God could use me anymore. But he did, and he has touched a lot of people with this song. And I've sung this song many times all over the Southeast, Northeast, and it always is like a brand new thing for me every time. And I just want to encourage you that if you feel like a failure, if you feel like that your life is tattered and torn and broken, and that you don't feel like that God can use you, I'm living proof that God can take the pieces and put them all together again. And what's best, he will use you. This song says, I'll take what's left, whatever's broken and whatever's shattered. Ask if I would give my all, I trembled and replied, there's not much here that you would want, just fragments of a life. I'd wasted so much through the years on choices that brought me tears. Everything I ever gained, I lost. And there I stood with empty hands at Calvary's cross. And he said, I'll take what's left, what's broken and shattered,
I will find the pieces that you've lost. I'll take what's left, no matter where they've scattered. I will take you just the way you are. There's no need to spend another day feeling like you do, for I will take what's left and make it new. I don't know why he goes so far to do the things he's done. What would he gain by loving me? I'm the most unworthy one. To think of where I'd been and all the things that could have been, I'll forever bless that special day when I brought to him my tattered life and I heard him say, I'll take what's left, what's broken and shattered. I will find the pieces that you've lost. I'll take what's left, no matter where they've scattered. I will take you just the way you are. There's no need to spend another day feeling like you do. I'll take what's left and make it new. I will take what's left and make it new.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, and my heart's encouraged as I stand here and see many faces I've prayed for this week and ask the Lord to work on your behalf, work in your family, different medical procedures, different things. And thank you for being so faithful here to God's house. And we're praying our time together around his word would help us and be a real blessing and an encouragement. I want to pray, and we'll begin here this morning in Ephesians 6. Father, Lord, you know the burden of my heart. Lord, I thank you for those in a difficult week to still come to your house and those that are recovering from surgeries and procedures. And Lord, this morning, I'm sure many come burdened and heavy-hearted, discouraged. And we just pray, Lord, through the singing and the preaching of your word, Lord, our heart would be renewed, our mind alert, that we'd be reminded of your goodness, your faithfulness to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you come to the book of Ephesians, we've been several weeks now, and we finally made it up to chapter number 6, and Paul is dealing with relationships. Remember, he writes the church at Ephesus, and this is a circulatory letter, and early on in the book, he deals with things of regeneration and salvation. He addresses some heavy doctrinal issues in chapters 1, 2, and 3. When you come to chapter number 4, chapter number 5, chapter number 6, he begins to put in place, or he begins to put together how we should act and how we should live when Jesus Christ is abiding in us. Last week, we finished chapter number 5, and we dealt with wives, submit to your husbands, and we dealt with husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so in a natural progression, if you will, in your mind, or if you'll write down this word, the thought process he continues here when you get to chapter number 6 is submission.
The thought process he continues here is a spirit-filled believer. The thought process he continues here is he is addressing these believers, and he moves from submission of husbands and wives, and he moves straight to children, and he really hasn't changed the thought process, or he really hasn't changed anything in that what he's trying to accomplish. We must assume that because he is addressing children, that there in Ephesus are some children, and those children needed to be reminded of things of respect, and those children needed to be reminded of things of obedience. Those children needed to be reminded that their job was to submit to the authority ahead of them. A natural progression as you come to the text, as he deals with husbands and wives, he deals with families, he deals with children, he deals with co-workers, he deals with servants and masters, and he deals with all these personalities, and he's giving them a charge or a challenge to be spirit-filled, because when you come to the end of chapter number 6, what do you see over? You know what I'm saying? They just didn't work that way. You learned early on in boot camp when they jerked you up out of bed and started screaming at you that you would submit and you would do all they ask you to do. You come to this text and the thought process here is submission, and he deals with children. Then he deals with fathers. Then he deals with masters. Then he deals with servants. The church at Ephesus at this time no doubt had many masters and had many servants in it. It was said in the Roman Empire there were over 60 million servants, over one-third of the people living, over one-third of the people sitting in the congregation were servants. And so Paul is writing them, and he drills home this idea of submission and mutual submission. And I titled the sermon this morning, Spirit-Filled Believers. Spirit-Filled Believers. There's an agenda today in society that people want to pawn off the raising of their children on other organizations. People want to outsource their education. People want to outsource their discipline. People want to outsource things in today's society when fathers have provoked their children to wrath, and fathers aren't doing their job, and fathers aren't standing up in the home, and fathers aren't leading as they should lead. And naturally, children want to do whatever they want. Children will rebel. Children will disobey. You know, Doug and Leanne will not have to teach Kaysen how to disobey. You won't have to. I promise he'll figure it out. That they just naturally know how to disobey. They naturally know how to buck authority.